Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Our guest today is Beth Herbrook. Beth is an event planner, a former production designer, or I guess still a current production designer. You're also the front lady of the Mama Drama Band. Woo. And the founder of the Good Folk Supper Club. You can follow Beth. Check out her website, Beth Herbrook, HERBRUCK.com. GoodFolkSupperClub.com also. And on Instagram, at Good Folk Supper Club.
That's it.
What's going on, Beth?
Good morning.
And don't forget, at Mama Drama Band as well.
At Mama Drama.
So what's going on? How are you today?
I'm good. I'm almost fully letted. I'm getting there.
Sweet.
I'm getting there. Thanks to Rook.
That said pro on it. So you're a professional.
It did. I'm a pro coffee consumer.
Sweet.
Yes.
I find that I am as well.
I've worked hard 41 years and I'm a pro. I'm a pro. I deserve the title now.
That's right. That's cool. I appreciate you coming in. You actually played at the Mullet Fest last year as well.
We did.
We had a little gig at the... where were we? House of Independence.
Yes.
So... I guess let's talk about your background first, though. And I just noticed you had a Claremont Lounge pin on. And I had no
clue. Thanks, Ming.
You're from Hotlanta originally.
ATL. Yeah. I am. Yes, yes.
So I thought people only ended up in Atlanta from New Jersey. I didn't realize people came from Atlanta to New Jersey.
The opposite migration.
Yeah,
born in Southern girl for sure. Mm. Born in Florida, raised in Atlanta. Tiny stints in New Orleans, but I went to UGA in Athens,
right,
and lived and worked in Atlanta for a little while. And I moved up to New York about a year, maybe less than that, after 9/11.
Wow.
Just always wanted to be up here.
Did you really?
My mom saved, you know, little essays that I wrote in third grade describing, when I moved to New York, this is my apartment and this is what I'm going to do. And
really?
Yeah. So I think there was always... just a curiosity. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was watching Annie too many times or what, but there was definitely this New York.
You're always drawn.
Pull. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So lived there for a number of years and actually went to school for graphic design and moved up to New York and interviewed, probably a good 110 times,
right,
during one of the fun economic dips, and ended up working for a company and started to plan events for them. That's kind of how I fell into and pushed my way into event planning.
Gotcha.
And production and design, and worked for BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music.
And
I was
really
living in Brooklyn, and I loved Fort Greene, which I just kind of made it my neighborhood and stayed there for a number of years and met my husband in the city. And so, yeah, we had a good run.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you moved up to New York without a gig or anything? You just took the
plunge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think, I saved up. I had this vision. I saved up like 2 months worth of rent,
mm-hmm,
and I moved into a high school friend's apartment and was like, I can, you know, live off like the dollar slice of pizza and
right. Some
peanut butter for a while. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of hit the ground running immediately. And I've worked in and around food all my life as well.
Right.
Which kind of ties into the supper club, which we can talk about later. But that was always my, you know, I was always either, you know, pouring coffee and working in restaurants and waiting tables my whole life. So
right.
I kind of landed, and the very next day was like, all right, I'm gonna find my day job, and then I'll figure out the rest of it.
Right.
So yeah.
That's cool.
New York is good for that. There's open arms, thankfully.
Right. See, I lived in Atlanta for a year, and I found open arms down there. It was like, man, Southerners are so sweet. Like, I loved it down there. It was awesome. I sold beer at the Omni during Hawks games.
Wow, you're a brave man.
Yeah, worked a little at, there was a minor league hockey team at the time, the Lightning.
Okay.
And then Braves games as well. And it was like sort of when the chop came out, like the Braves were starting to get hot, starting to make this. So it was a fun time down there.
Were you there when they won the World Series? 96?
No, I was gone.
Okay.
Yeah, I was there.
I think it was 96. I might be throwing
that sounds about right.
95, 94, 95, 96.
Yeah, I feel like I was there.
A baseball fan.
The year they lost, right? I was actually at a game, and Atlanta's crazy. It's like, I guess you could do this in any city, but me and a friend went down to the stadium. They were in the playoffs against the Pirates, and we couldn't get tickets, so we just hung out in the parking lot, listened to the game, and drank beers in the back of my pickup truck. And around like the seventh inning, there's all sorts of excitement. We just walk up, and like the stadium was basically wide open. It's like, you know, it's not like New York, you know, Yankee Stadium where it's like full on security everywhere.
They're like, so come on in.
We kind of pretended like we were leaving and heard a cheer. And we're like, oh my God, what's going on? And ran in and found ourselves sitting behind home plate with like the Pirates' wives. Yes. And Sid Bream was safe at home. And we were like right there, like 20 feet away. It was awesome.
And you know that that stadium is now no longer Brave Stadium.
Yeah.
So they have moved a bit up north, which right. is where my parents are. And Georgia State University, which is where I spent a couple of years there, has yep. now taken over, and that is an amazing project going on right now.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, you should check. It's yeah, it's That's good cool. stuff. Atlanta's interesting. I definitely subscribe to the theory that you don't know what you have till it's gone.
Right.
And I miss it Do all you? The time. My entire family's there. My parents, my sisters, all my cousins, my yeah. grandma, everyone's there.
Right.
I just needed to breathe some other air for a little bit,
right.
I think, and try some things out. And I'll get back.
Yeah. When you moved like initially to New York, did you not have that feeling at the time? Were you like, yes, I'm finally in New York and felt
yes,
great.
Yeah. yes, yes, yes.
So it
yes.
took a while for you to sort of.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we could do therapy podcasts all day long and I could list all the reasons that I needed to cross all the borders.
Right.
I needed separation, and some people are able to do that and move on where they are. I needed physical distance. Right. I needed to get out. I think I needed some new challenges. I needed to prove a lot of things to myself. Mm-hmm. I think I had a lot of things to prove.
Right.
And as much as I love my family and speak to my mom every day, I just needed to try some things out myself. Right. And yeah.
That's cool. So you said you were working at BAM for a while. What were you doing there? Was it
event planning?
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, every performance they have, art, music, dance, they would have a reception and party afterwards.
Oh,
so
cool.
We would put those on. And right. then also they had two fundraising galas every year. And, mm-hmm. and that was really, I mean, that was the job where we had, our budget was always zero. You know, working right. for a nonprofit, it's like, okay, the budget is zero. So, right. so what can you do? Find a space for 600 and find decor for nothing. And, you know, figure out how to make something super badass happen.
Right.
For nothing.
Right.
And, you know, who do we need to ask? What favors can we call in? How creative can you get in a hardware store and make decor for all these tables? I loved it. It was great.
Right.
I learned a lot. You know, they kind of have great expectations and little budget, and you figure it out. So lots of collaboration, tons of creativity. I mean, they're kind of a huge industry now. When I go back to Fort Greene, I mean, they just, you know, they own tons of property now and have done incredible renovations. And it's just bananas that there's like an Apple store, you know, next door. But it's just, yeah, I had the most inspiring staff and experiences there for sure. And just give, you know, kind of given this freedom and trust, and they had no idea who I was and just said, okay, you know, let's make this happen in 3 months. And yeah, it was great.
That's
it was really,
really
great.
Cool.
I learned a lot.
So they did your Southern like upbringing play into that at all? Because I as you're telling me all this, I'm thinking of the phrase Southern hospitality, right?
Yeah.
Like this, so is that like a factor in your success?
Sure. Sure. I mean, I think that I have always, I've always loved entertaining,
mm-hmm.
and our family certainly celebrated everything together. You know, I mean, getting together with family every Sunday, after church, whether it was 4th of July parties or birthdays, you know, I mean, there was always you know, growing up with so much family around, there was a lot of entertaining.
Right.
I definitely was dragged to Cotillion and learned all about fine dining and manners and right. social graces. And as much as I'm sure I was giving them the middle finger in my mind at that point, I learned a lot. And I think that I found it really interesting. I just think that entertaining, I think people in different environments is really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sure. I'm sure that the Southern hospitality factors into. I worked in tons of restaurants down in Atlanta as well, from right. fine dining to, you know, hamburger joints and coffee shops. So I've kind of seen all aspects of that,
right.
and I have always been very interested in what makes people comfortable. You know, whether you're at a party or you're at a one-on-one dinner event, you know, how to get people to relax and enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know.
That's
yeah.
cool. Did you ever work at the Varsity by chance?
God, no, but yeah. my dad takes us every time.
Really?
Yes.
Sweet.
Every time. It's tough though. You know, when you get off the plane and you go straight to the Varsity, you need at least like a good 3 to 5 hours afterwards to kind of detox. But
right.
yeah. Oh, it's a staple.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember like you used to pop into the rooms were by TV channel.
Yeah.
Right. So you pop in that room, you're sitting at like a school.
And
desk,
you watch the game.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's been around since my grandfather, you know, right after the war, went to Georgia Tech on a GI Bill.
Oh, really?
He would eat at the Varsity every single day. And
that's
they used
awesome.
To, you know, like roll out and give you the, you know, service in your car
right.
with the speaker, and you could listen to the Braves game and have, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So
Chili
how did
dogs.
You, totally. How did you make the trek from Brooklyn over to Jersey then?
You know, that one gets the blame of my husband's mm-hmm. side of the family. I think we were, you know, we fall into the category where we were, you know, thinking about having some kiddos and looked at enough apartments where, you know, the realtor said this closet could turn into the baby's room. And we were like, what the hell? And, you know, Fort Greene made the cover of the New York Times Real Estate, and our landlord came knocking and said, you know, your rent is an additional $5,000 a week now. And
right.
so we kind of, you know, did the thing where we drew the mile radius circle around where we were living and played the commute game with everything. And, and we found New Jersey, thanks to one of his cousins giving us a night at the Blue Bay Inn and dinner at Copper Canyon in Atlantic Highlands
wow.
for our wedding gift. And we rode our bikes and we took the ferry and we said, well, this town's kind of cute. And First Avenue's kind of rad. And they have a movie theater and
right.
they've got some bars and you could see the city. So, you know, if we get a little anxious, we can just swim across if we need to, you know, it's not too far. And yeah, it stuck. We had a really aggressive realtor who made it happen after like a year or two. And,
right.
and yeah, and here we are.
That's
I was
cool.
kicking and screaming, I think, the first couple of years. I didn't get it here.
Right.
I don't have roots here, and I just didn't get it. I think there were, you know, there's a lot moving, you know, from New York into any kind of other environment.
Totally.
You're like, where is everybody? How do I meet everybody? Am I going to pick up friends at the grocery store? Like, I don't know. How do I meet people here? I forget how to
right.
meet people. So I think the first couple of years were tough, and we were still commuting for work, and then we had two kiddos. And
yeah.
so I think it took me a good 4 or 5 years to kind of understand it. And
yeah.
now I'm in love. I think it's amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And at what point did you stop commuting? Was
about 2.5 years in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was after my son was born, and the position that I had in the city, they were just, you know, they were kind of redistributing all the.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Jobs, and it wasn't exactly my passion project, so
right.
I think it was kind of a good time for me to say I'm gonna step back and kind of think about things for a little bit.
Right.
So
when you made that shift, were you thinking of starting something for yourself, or were you looking for jobs in New Jersey? Or how did it unfold?
You know, I think I took a lot of deep breaths and just needed to figure out where I was. The bottom line is that I was so unhappy and feeling so lost and so lonely. Right. And my husband said, all right, you have 12 months and you need to figure out how you can be happy in this place. And if you can't, then we'll leave. We will go back to Brooklyn. We will move to Atlanta. We will get out of here. But you've got to figure something out because this is not working for you. So that's when I was like, all right. So I kind of jumped into what I knew really well. Mm-hmm. And that was doing, you know, event planning, fundraising galas at the time. So I reached out to Two River Theater and worked on some of their fundraising events. Right. I reached out to Lunch Break and I worked on one of their fundraising galas. I immediately signed up for the Film One Fest, which is in Atlantic Highlands, which is, you know, the summer festival with shorts, and jumped on their committee and co-directed that, was involved for 5 years. So I kind of did the thing that I usually did, you know, when I was in Atlanta and when I was in the city, was just say yes and jump into a whole bunch of things and throw all the spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And when I did that, I definitely found my place here.
That's cool.
Started to find my people and learned so much more about this Garden State that I had no idea about.
Right.
That's kind of when it started.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So then in 2015, you founded the Good Folk Supper Club.
Yes.
What was the original idea for that?
That was another move out of desperation. that was another, this kind of just, I was missing my people in large air quotes, and I didn't know what that meant. I just felt like there was kind of, I needed to grow out here. Mm. And I thought that food was really interesting, and I was learning more about farming and ag history out here, as well as a lot of the new young farmers that were working, you know, in ag and aquaculture as well. And I had followed and attended a lot of different supper clubs in Brooklyn, you know, when they were doing them on the train and doing them, you know, on the top of buildings unannounced, and had a lot of improv friends in comedy that were also doing really crazy, fun, weird things with food. And I missed that a lot. And because I couldn't find it, I was like searching for it here, and I couldn't find it. So I did the thing where I was like, okay, if I can't find it, then I'm going to start it, and we'll see if anyone else out there is interested in this. And it was really just an experiment to see, like, is, you know, are other people looking for something kind of surprising and exciting? And instead of, you know, we live in Atlantic Highlands, and we were going back to the city every weekend for food or for shows, or, you know, Asbury Park was, you know, in these beginning new stages of exploding. And so we were like, okay, there's got to be room for, and there's got to be other people out here that, you know, want just, you know, some new adventure. So I started with, you know, 44 friends in the area that were transplants. Most of them were transplants from other places too, trying to figure out their footing in New Jersey. And so, yeah, started there and reached out to a chef. And from the very beginning, too, I think just with my background in nonprofits and working with lots of charity organizations and 501c3s, I wanted to tie in that philanthropic aspect. So it wasn't just another, you know, fancy party for party's sake kind of thing. But let's give this kind of a deeper meaning. And really what it ended up being is this twofold concept of building community.
Right.
So it was, for selfish reasons, for me to find my people. I was like, okay, that if I'm not getting invited to those parties, then I'm gonna plan the party, damn it. And it was a way to grow people around a table, as well as bring their awareness to, you know, what the other needs surrounding us in the community are. So kind of, you know, two different community building, I guess, ideas there. And so so that was the first. And we are about to host our 23rd in October.
That's crazy.
And yeah, it's been fun.
Where was the first one?
The first two actually were in Atlantic Highlands, in this house that this individual owned, who has since moved, and he named it the Thomas Paine House. And it was one of those very, very large homes on Ocean Boulevard that, you know, kind of overlooks the bay, and you can see Manhattan and Brooklyn. And I stalked him. I slid letters and notes under his door, and I left things in his mailbox. And that also became, you know, I set up all these parameters for this supper club idea that I had. I was like, okay, it's going to be in a different location every time. So that will kind of, you know, check this box for me and my curiosity, because I was learning about this state. And so I was like, okay, this is a good idea. This is a good way to kind of bring people in and out of their comfort zone and take them into some new areas that I don't know anything about. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they're curious. Let's take this on the road and see. So it's in a different place every time, featured a different chef every time. So I was like, okay, there's got to be, you know, more voices and more people that are just as passionate food, and I need to find them, you know, and how can I highlight them and maybe get them out of their kitchen so they can say something new, and then donate a portion of the proceeds to a different nonprofit each time. So it's kind of like these three variables. And so the first two were there, and then we had one in a squash club, and then we had one on the beach, and we had one in a coffee shop, and we had, you know, one upstairs in convention hall. And they've kind of moved all over. Right now we've hosted them kind of in and around Monmouth and Ocean County. So right now I say it's in between like Atlantic Highlands and Asbury Park, and kind of everywhere in between.
That's cool.
It's been fun.
So you try to do 4 a year now?
Right now it's 4 a year.
Okay.
The original vision was every month.
Right.
And every other month. And it was like, all right, hot damn, I'm tired.
Yeah.
This is a lot. I love it, but I also need to, I wanted to keep it interesting. And, you know, I think with a concept like this, with the ticket price that it is, and there's a lot of moving parts and a lot of logistics. And I also have two kiddos. And so I was like, you know, seasonally is great. Let's do this quarterly, winter, spring, summer, fall, and we'll keep it niche. We'll keep it, adventurous. And, the whole idea of hype, you know, what works, what doesn't, it's moving. It's a moving target. People have asked, when are you going to open a restaurant, or when are you going to have it in a set location, or when are you going to do it for 200 people? Like, clearly your margins are, you know, little. And yes, they are. I have no margins. But at the same time, you know, I really love it. And so trying to find, you know, what is that sweet spot, you know?
I mean, creatively, even like after 20 times and trying to do it 4 times a year, do you ever just get in a rut of like, I don't know where the hell I'm going to go next?
I mean, I think the burnout is, I don't even burnout. I mean, it's kind of one of these like, all right, I've done 23. What's interesting? And, you know, there's always a new surprise. Having it in a new location with a different chef is, you know, it's totally different logistically and emotionally, and working with a slightly different crew. I have a really incredible team that I get to work with every time, and finding out what they do and seeing that, you know, I get energized just and excited being around them, and our photographer. And I have two more lined up. I've got winter and spring already. And
nice. So when's the winter one?
That one is going to, it's, the date is up in the air. So it's January and or February. And I'm kind of waiting for them to get back to me with a Saturday that works for them.
Gotcha.
There's lots of little moving parts.
Right.
But
so people sign up on the website to get notified, right?
Yeah.
And they sell out really quick.
Yeah. In about 3 to 7 minutes.
That's
right.
Insane.
Now.
Totally insane.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready for the announcement. And then, but people buy tickets and don't know anything about the event, right?
Well, you know two things.
Okay.
Well, you know three things. I tell you the date of the dinner.
Right.
I tell you who the chef is going to be.
Oh, cool.
And who is receiving the donation.
Gotcha.
So I kind of give you those three. And then the tickets go on sale, and only the ticket holders find out where they're actually going to be eating 24 hours before.
Right.
And then you actually find out what you're eating when you arrive.
That's
so, yeah.
Cool.
So there's a lot of variables.
Right.
But it's, you know, as an event producer, it's really a way to kind of save my butt. There's been a number of times where, you know, at the final hour, I've had to change locations.
Have you really?
And that works in my favor because nobody knew where we were going yet.
Right.
And, not letting somebody know what the menu is a month out gives the freedom to the chef to be able to say, you know, well, the tomatoes look like ass, so now we're going to do peppers, or, you know, something didn't come in, so now we're doing something else. And so I kind of built in that freedom, that wiggle room too.
That's cool. So what's like the biggest like the funny thing is like all that's popping in my mind is like nowadays all you hear about is food allergies. Right?
Yes.
So like you're not telling anyone what they're eating.
So we say, yes, if you, this is clearly a, you know, these words, but it's a culinary adventure, right? It's culinary adventure. And so we tend to attract people that are, you know, are down with that kind of thing. You know, if you are a lactose intolerant vegan who has shellfish allergies and can't eat peanuts, like you're probably not going to sign up to
be you're not.
But, we, you know, we say, in, you know, under the information when it goes out, if you have any dietary needs or restrictions or allergies, just let us know a week ahead. And, almost every chef will accommodate. If they won't, or for instance, we did like a 7-course sushi tasting. So we said, if there are any seafood allergies, this dinner is not for you. And we love you and we'll see you next time around. Yeah, we just kind of give heads up. And we did one one vegan dinner with Karen Alex from Seed to Sprout. And they are my favorite, most incredible, hardworking ladies. And that was an excellent dinner. And we have had, you know, and I learned a lot about where we are, where we're living, and the people that follow us, because it was a large dinner. It was for 50 something people. And I was like, I don't know if we're going to sell 10 tickets to a vegan dinner for, I have no idea. And we had a waiting list of, you know, 30 something people. And we still have people that reach out asking, when's the next vegetarian vegan dinner? So, So, you know, I mean, I think that just, you know, food awareness and education is changing and, you know, things that become more popular, people become more aware of. And
yeah, it's true. So do you have a favorite spot that you've been to for this?
Favorite spot? I have two favorite spots, but for very different reasons. Our last dinner was held in Beyond Organics farm, which is out in Freehold. It is one of the most stunning locations I have been in. I think it just also had to do with just luck of the draw. We had incredible weather. It was hazy all day, and the sun broke through about 2 hours before the dinner, and we were hosting inside this state-of-the-art greenhouse with moving walls and windows, and everything inside was aeroponic, organic greens. And so just there's the sound of trickling water, and this farm is a working fifth-generation farm that is currently a sod farm. So from every angle, you just have green, perfect grass. And it was stunning.
Wow.
It was stunning. During the dessert course, we had this lightning storm. So everyone was inside and we had this crazy light play. It was a wild evening.
That's right.
But working with the owners, they could not, I mean, Teresa, they just welcomed us with open arms. They are really into food and bringing people into that environment, sharing what they are passionate about. So that, I think, was one of the most amazing. But then also, you know, we were really fortunate to host a supper club in Transparent Gallery, which is, you know, adjacent to the Asbury Hotel. And, and Danny Clinch was in London that day, and he flew in, left the Foo Fighters, and came in for that dinner. And that was a huge surprise. And that was just, that was pretty rad.
That's cool.
It was neon and, you know, with all of his work surrounding you. And he, so that was really, amazing.
Cool.
And that one benefited the Asbury Park Music and Film Fest.
Oh, nice.
And then we, you know, there was one dinner that we did kind of within the eye of a hurricane. And I was digging this ditch around this tent on a beach as it was just pouring down rain, and the guests loved it. And they all like wore their rain boots and drank extra amounts and had a blast. So I don't know. It's hard to say, like, you know, which
everyone's special in its own way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any like dream spots you want to go to, or you keep that under wraps?
Yeah, I'm going to keep that under wraps.
Yeah.
I have a few spaces that, you know, I've been stalking for years, and it's just really figuring out the right time and the right chef for that space. And I think that's really what my job is just, you know, finding all the moving pieces and putting them together at the right time.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
And where'd your passion for food come from?
Where did my passion for food come from? I think just, you know, I'd love to say at home, but I also think it's just working in the food industry and the energy in the back of house and the dance that happens in front of house is something that I was immediately drawn to. It's so addictive, like just the, you know, the amount of prep, the hours, the drama, everything on the line, fire, sharp knives, alcohol. I mean, it's like you're putting all this together and people are celebrating anniversaries and birthdays and first dates and... Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. I don't know. I love it. I think that it's such a weirdly theatrical meets like volatile industry, but it's supposed to just be such a lovely, you know, time out. And I think there's so many moving parts to it that people don't always notice or think about. And yeah, I've always thought that's really interesting. To me, it's I never really went the route of theater, but I've always been in music and in and around performance in some way. And I think that that checks a lot of boxes for me. Restaurants and working in that food world checks a lot of boxes.
It's really funny. Like, I didn't spend a lot of time in the industry, but my sister did.
Yeah.
And everyone I know from like the log, the hours, has the most colorful Spanish expressions. Like,
dude,
you got any good ones that you want to share?
I can't. It goes back to, you know, just the kind of the unexpected, and you never know what you're going to walk into morning, noon, or night. And there was, I was working for a large restaurant group in the city and managing special events for five of their different restaurants all over East Village, Westside, Tribeca. And, you know, one of the chefs called one day and was like, yeah, you know, you, the Tribeca, we're putting everything on hold right now. The sous chef stabbed the other line chef. They got in a fight about whose girlfriend in the car. You know, like, you just, you never know what's going to happen. And I think that kind of unexpected, that element, as well as the just the kind of dance and choreography that goes on in the front, I think is really interesting. And I there's definitely a side of me, no surprise because of, you know, mama drama, but there's a side of me that loves the performance and being in front of people. I am very interested in people and meeting new people, and I think that working in and around food in that respect was always very interesting to me. So what got me interested in food, so I was always really more front of house, and I think that I was interested in that, but just being in that line of work and in that industry for so long, you pick up on different things, how to chop herbs, how to look for the right kind of cut of meat, how to combine an acid and a salt, and the importance of fat and the importance of timing. So even though I was never in the, you know, on the line doing that, you could just kind of pick up on things, and and working in so many different restaurants and tasting so many different things. Yeah, I mean, it's hard, you know, once you've worked in some 4 or 5 star restaurants to be able to be like, there's real magic that happens in food and watching people's expressions. And
I think you you forget that it is like a performance, like every night, right?
Yeah.
It's cool.
You don't know what's coming on your plate every time. Depends on the mood of the chef and who showed up for work that day, you know? But yeah, so I think that, so then obviously that's, I guess that's kind of where my, my love of food and being around that started. And then, you know, that, that conversation has changed over the years. And I would love to say that I was, as aware of the impact on the environment and our economy as I am today, but that has just been something that I've learned over time speaking to more chefs and or farmers. And it's, you know, thankfully it's a really hot topic right now. It's, you know, the word sustainability, I think, was something that people didn't know about or care about so much for a long period of time. And I think that's come back around. And the fact that you can walk into so many restaurants, you know, from one end of the financial spectrum to the other, and you'll see a chalkboard that says where the cheese came from, you know, the fact that that's becoming more of a norm, that's pretty awesome.
I think it's pretty cool. I'm always fascinated to see where stuff, you know, is coming from.
And if nothing else, I mean, I, you know, have said this before, that the Portlandia sketch about the chicken, you know, did he go to a private school? Did he have good friends? Was he happy? They wanted to go meet him beforehand. You know, I mean, it's gone to an extreme, but what I am interested about, soil and sustainability and what goes into the food is going into you. All of that is true. I am equally as interested in the people that are growing and producing and making, you know, because it's just like one more layer of these people that have been behind the scenes for a long time. And Yeah, I could go on and on about the economy and, you know, and how soybeans have taken over small farm. But yeah, I am equally as passionate about the people, you know, that are dedicating their lives. It's hard work. It's right. Long hours. It's hard stuff. So yeah.
That's cool. And how did you get into music? I know you mentioned that you were always
into it. But. I think that music maybe more than food is kind of the language that I speak. Right. I have always been. My parents have these cassette tapes, and when I was 2, I apparently had already memorized 23 songs with all the words, like all the Christmas carols and all the songs at church. And I was, watching like Shirley Temple and Annie, and always just kind of singing and dancing and tapping my way around the house. And I started playing piano really young and was always singing somewhere, whether it was in a chorus or choir, and just saved my butt so many times. I felt like it, you know, that was just the way I found that I could express myself. And I love that music could cover so many emotions. And I think when I started playing the piano, I was like, oh man, you know, like you can, you know, find sadness here and I can work that out, or anger and I can work that out, or I can make something sound really pretty, or and then, you know, just as soon as I had a tape recorder, and yeah, it was just off from there. So it's literally saved my butt many, many, many times.
So were you in bands ever?
In high school, a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yes, a little bit. None of them are going to be listening to this, so yes. Yes, I sang in choruses and choirs since I was, you know, 3, and then kind of stepped away from the piano in high school a bit. Mm-hmm. I would accompany other choruses too, but I really wanted to learn the guitar.
Right.
And I was just obsessed with, like, you know, there was like a good Riot Girl thing that was happening then in the 90s, in the early mid 90s, and piano just like literally wasn't hitting those notes for me, and I was like, I need something that's got more physical aggression in it. So I picked up the guitar, and high school bands, it's kind of just luck of the draw of who you happen to be in school with, and do you have a drummer, and can someone else play something else with strings, and we kind of mushed it all together, and my god, I think we played two shows that I will say out loud now because this is good therapy. We played our senior show at a party, a graduation party, and I think we covered everything from Fish to Portishead.
Really?
And if that gives you any idea how hot of a mess we were, it was a mess, but it was great. We just tried everything.
That's,
I think,
cool.
You know, we had a band at the time, and we were all into such completely different stuff. We had a metalhead, and we had a deadhead, and we had me who just, you know, wanted to be in Blur and be from England. Yeah, we were just trying to like figure it all out, but it was fun.
Yeah. And were you singing or playing guitar or both?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Nice. Well. Yeah, it was therapy. It was good. I worked out some things.
So then did you get away from music when you moved up to New York and start working? Does it like leave your life for a while?
Performance-wise, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I said I had my guitar strapped on my back, but no. I was really trying to be a grown-up and trying to be a designer, trying to be a graphic designer, and it just wasn't, yeah. I was trying things on.
Right.
Yeah. And I came up, but you know, music has always been the place where I spend whatever money I had at the time, and shows and bands and DJs. And I went to school with friends that were in bands and DJs. So when I moved up here, a lot of them were here. And so just, you know, house parties and loft parties. And that's actually how I met my husband. He happened to be at the same house party for some DJs that were moving away. And so music has just always been, it's still where my husband and I will spend our date night and our time and our money.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a show and food.
Right.
But usually music. Yeah.
How'd you work your way back into music as a performer?
God, right place at the right time. Renee, who I will shout out, owns Juice in Atlantic Highlands. She, I picked her up at a plant nursery, and I was you know, kind of still in this place where I was trying to find my people, and she looked like she might be my people.
Right.
And she had a kiddo who was taking some classes at Lake House, and there were some other ladies who had kiddos that were taking classes at Lake House, and they were all sitting around, you know, in the waiting room saying, God, you know, we should be in a band.
Right.
We're moms, we can be in a band. Mom band. Mom, heck yeah, mom band. So this kind of whole idea happened, and I don't even remember if I like raised my hand and said, I'll sing, but right. I think it probably happened like that. And yeah, and we just, it started that, right. It just started that way. And yeah, it's had a couple of different iterations. Right. I stepped away for a little bit and we recently got back together, and now we're, yeah, we are writing songs on our own now and right. playing out much more. And yeah, it's fun. Mama drama is real.
I mean, what happens to you when you hit the stage? I mean, all of you have like very strong stage presence. I mean, you're a total star. Like, it's insane. Like you
thanks.
Totally,
thanks,
you totally command the stage. I mean, you're awesome. So where does that confidence come from? Was it there at the beginning?
Okay. Yes, both. I think it was there. I think that it was, something else that I just had to prove to myself. Yeah. There were, you know, without naming names, there were a number of people in high school, particularly Buick's boyfriends, that just said, you know, you suck, your voice sucks, you guys are terrible. And that stopped me. So I really, in high school, I had, you know, one person who just said, yeah, I heard you sucked and heard your voice was bad and heard, yeah, bleh. Right. And I stopped singing. I stopped wow. playing guitar. I walked away from all of it. And I went to college and I was like, okay, well, I suck at that. So right. I'm going to try something else. And spent a lot of years, you know, doing something else and missing it all the time. But, you know, it's weird. You're a grown up. Where, if you're not in a band or you're not surrounded by people that are performing in bands, or, you know, it's weird. Like, what are you going to do? Sing like karaoke? Right. I mean, karaoke fills like this void for people right. that want to perform, but they don't have a band or don't know how to do it. And it's weird as a grown up. People have real jobs, and it's when so many bands break up, you know, people right. have rent to pay and families are starting, and it's like, and I'm going to band practice. Like, that doesn't, it's, right. you know, it's kind of one of the first things to go, I think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just, I wasn't doing it. I don't think I realized until we all got together, all the mamas in a room, that I realized how much I miss it. So I think it was just tapping into the thing that I've squashed for a long time.
Right.
I mean, look, we're a hot mess, and I tell everybody when they ask what I do, I'm a rodeo clown. Like, it's as much like theater. It's as much about the makeup and right. the theater as it is about the good noise that we're putting out. But it just, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Does that answer what you
Yeah, asked? Totally. I mean, is it, so obviously you enjoy it, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I have said that it is cheaper than therapy and it is better than most addictions. So it's pretty good, clean fun for the right. most part, as right. long as I don't break anything. I've fallen a few times and spilled a few drinks, but you know,
right.
we're minor punk at this point.
It's all
we're
in the name of rock and
punk.
Roll, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, cool.
I've fallen over one monitor once. That happened, but
that's not
yeah.
bad.
No, it's good.
Right.
It's really, I don't know. It's fun. I think it's funny. I think that there's a part of me that would love to be an improv comedic performer. That's like, if I look at all the things when I, you know, make my lists, my bucket lists or my what ifs, and there are a few things that I'm still like way too terrified to try. And I think that the whole like improv acting is like a very good scary for me.
Right.
So the mama drama checks off some of that. You know,
right.
I can be campier. I can try on different. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get to kind of try on different hats and
right.
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And they're up for it. You know, like, thankfully these girls are like along for the ride and are, yeah, they're my favorite.
Right. So they're kind of all in similar spaces as you, I guess, right?
Like, yes.
Hitting it all at the right time and providing that missing piece.
The more we talk about it, that's exactly what it is. Right. It taps into something that we have either suppressed or forgot that it meant so much to us.
Right.
And you know, none of us, well, only our drummer is really working, quote, in the music industry. And she is currently working at Lake House. But, you know, one of our guitarists is a full-time nurse. And, you know, Carrie, who owns Brand Groupies, and that's her full-time gig. And Renee owns a cafe restaurant. And Kim, our keyboardist, is a kindergarten teacher. I mean, we've, you know, everyone's like got day jobs and other careers and kids. And, you know, there's a lot going on. So I think that this just taps into a lot of stuff for us. Sometimes it's just getting together and like kicking stuff and making noise and screaming a lot. We're like, that was great. That was success. High five. And that's it, you know? But the fact that we make time to get together once a week, I think, you know, some people do CrossFit and some people sign up drum marathons, and we just plug in and make a lot of noise.
So you still rehearse once a week?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what was it like now going the step from performing other people's music into writing your own? And
it's just different sparks are flying.
Yeah.
It's totally different energy. And we have been told that we perform, we act different, and we sound different when we are singing our things versus somebody else's. But it's an entirely different thing, right? When you're performing someone else's music, you're either taking them on, or you're doing their, you know, kind of your interpretation of their stuff. But you know that everybody in the audience knows what's coming next and remembers where they heard that song. So there's a lot wrapped up in your performing of someone else's music. And there's a lot of pressure to perform someone else's stuff, which is why when I came back to sing this time around, the only weird rule that I put in is that I wasn't going to sing any other female artists' songs because I that's probably the control freak in me, but I don't want to be compared to any other female artist. And, you know, the moment we sing a Blondie song or Heart or something, like, my God, we'll never be them ever. And now we're just karaoke. And if we're singing Black Sabbath, well, then I can camp the hell out of it. And, you know, Ozzy didn't remember one lyric to the next. So, like, I can put my own spin on it, and I don't have to hit all his notes, and I don't have to, you know, sing everything that Mick Jagger said. Like, I don't, you know, we can do our version of it. So I think it gives us a little flexibility. People are a little more forgiving. But yeah, writing our own stuff, it's what do we have to say now?
Right.
What's making us mad or excited or, it's different. It's a whole different conversation as a band, you know?
I think
we're exploring that right now. So we don't know. We're still working that out.
Right. I mean, it's interesting from the songs I've heard, like, your original seem to fit your personality as a band. You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool. Like, I think actually Carrie told me one time, I think she said she was working on mummifying a song or something, right? So, like, I mean, is that because you have a branding person in the band? Or is it just naturally that this is what's happening?
Oh, she keeps us on brand. Right. Oh, yeah, she does. She's like, what's our color scheme this time? Right. You know, like, are we, yeah. No, we are learning that right now. Right. Even communicating as a band, as an adult, grown mother person, is a very different skill than coming in and playing a cover.
Right.
And there's just so much more communication about, you know, do you all agree that these lyrics are what we want to sing? Do you all agree that it should be dark, should be angry, should be happier? Do we want to be angry all the time? Do we really want to be punk all the time? Do we, I don't know. Like, what are we, it's kind of a new conversation we're having to figure out. It's fun.
I mean, I guess that's like all adults are figuring out, right? Like, who the hell am I?
Who are we
now? What's my message?
What am I? Yeah. And it's changing. My God, I have a 12-year-old who's now in middle school, and I'm like, I have more things to say now, you know, like, or not. I don't know.
Right.
You know, it's just new phases and new chapters in life. My God, if this, you know, if Mama Drama stayed together for 10 years, I'm sure that what we want to scream now is going to be totally different than what we want to scream in 10 years. Or at least I hope so.
Yeah. Who knows? So are all your kids still into music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much. Thankfully.
Right. And they look up to you for what you're doing?
Nope.
No.
Like, does any kid of any performer ever? My God, I think one of my favorites was when I learned that, like, you know, Jack Black's kids rolled their eyes at him more, and I was like, God, he's the greatest ever. How could you ever think anything he did was, you know,
so funny?
And they're like, God's dad.
Right.
So, yeah, no. Oh my gosh, no. They're embarrassed.
Embarrassing,
and
totally.
think it's, you know,
it's mom.
But I think that that's probably, that makes me more happy. That it's just around them all the time and that they see me doing something that they don't think is cool, but I'm doing it anyways kind of thing is, I don't mind that. That's fine. Cool. Nice. Yeah. I think it'd be weird if I was trying to sing stuff that they liked. Like, I can't rap. Like, the hell no. No. So, yeah.
That's cool.
It's age appropriate what I do. It's 40-something music. It's not their genre.
Right. This is true. Although what goes around comes around a lot, too. So
we'll see.
Kids discovered at some point.
We do take them to a lot of music and always have. And yeah, I think that I remember being pregnant with my son and lordly, crazy, hormonal, and just like praying, God, please give him rhythm, you know, like, just please give him rhythm. But yeah, they do love music. They are finding out their own. And it is very different from the stuff that I'm into in some ways. But then, yeah, I love it. It's like, it was the way that I found myself and still, you know, go to it when I'm, if I need to change my mood or if you know, if I'm setting the stage for a supper club, like I start often with the playlist to kind of figure out what, you know, what's the night going to look like? What's it going to sound like? And I see my kids doing the same thing. So that's kind of rad.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
As long as there's no face tattoos, that's where I draw the line. I'm like, no face tattoos. You know, we can just whatever decisions need to be reversible at this point. So no face tattoos. So that's it. That's where I draw the line.
You might want to ease up on enforcing that or talking about it so much.
I know.
That may be the. I only know one way to get back at mom, and here comes the tear, baby.
Post Malone.
Right.
Who has a great voice? Yeah. Sings circles. Anyways, yeah, it's true. Yeah. I should keep it to myself.
Right. Hopefully they'll find the way.
Right? The worst thing you could do is eat vegetables. Oh, it'd be the worst.
That's right.
Just kidding. Yeah.
All right, cool. So check out Mama Drama. Your next gig is going to be at the Atlantic Islands Chili Fest.
Yep.
What was the date of that again?
Saturday the 28th.
Saturday the 28th, Atlantic Islands Chili Fest, down at one of the C Street parking lots.
Yeah, we go on bright and early at 5 p.m.
5 p.m., nice.
Yes.
So load up on some chili.
Yes, and, Carton Brew, Brinley Shipwreck Rum. Yeah, it's a good time. This festival has been around for a long time. It used to be a little kind of local, yokel neighborhood thing that we did, and now it's awesome.
It's kicking off.
It's really fun.
That's cool. I mean, and Mama Drama is obviously making the rounds at lots of big events because you were at Asbury Oyster Fest recently.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
The Mullet Cast, of course.
Yep. Is, the House of Independence, and we love the good old Chubby Pickle. So we're playing out. We're gonna work on a couple more originals in October, we will start playing out again in November. We got a lot of dates.
Awesome. So you do the Pickle like monthly kind of thing?
We have been. We played there 3 times, but we really want to spend the next couple of weeks like fine tuning a few things and maybe even getting in a studio and seeing what that kind of sounds like. So we're playing the Chili Fest and then November.
Sweet.
Early November.
All right, cool. Yeah. So that is that the next goal for Mama Drama, to get some recordings done?
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. You know Carrie? Carrie's like, I want to get us in razor commercials and lube. I want a lube branded deal. I want, like, sweet. She's got an agenda. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Everyone follow Mama Drama at Mama Drama Band on Instagram.
Yeah.
Look for those dates. Check out Beth and get on the mailing list for the Good Folks Supper Club at Good Folks Supper Club on Instagram and goodfolkssupperclub.com. I think is where you drop your email address in there, right?
That's it.
Any like little teasers you want to give away about your winter event coming up?
Just more good stuff, different things. We're trying to incorporate a little more of who the nonprofit is, and we're going to kind of weave that in different ways. And I'm going to just kind of mess around a little bit with how we've been doing it. So yeah, just stay tuned. More good stuff to come.
All right, cool. So that one's coming up in January. Roughly when would that go on sale?
The tickets always go on sale 2 weeks before the dinner, and I always give the email blast goes out about a week before that. Gotcha. So I'll be sharing info about the October dinner later this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so the October dinner is coming up.
It's coming up soon. Yep, October 19th.
Oh, okay,
is
cool.
Going to be the next dinner.
All
right,
sweet. All right, keep an eye out for that one then.
Yes.
All right, Beth, appreciate you coming in.
Thanks.
It was good to catch up with you.
It was fun.
Once again, follow me on Instagram at Evan Baumer and look for the Mullet Cast on Facebook at the Mullet Cast. Thank you. Thanks, Beth.